It's On Second Thought. I'm Adam Ragusa. Tomorrow, we examine the largest slave auction in U.S. history. It's been called the Weeping Time, and it happened in Savannah. This event is not particularly well known. We'd like to hear from you. Is there a historical event that you think deserves more attention? Something that happened here in the South or in Georgia? Give us a call. Leave a message. We're at 404-500-9457. And be sure to join us tomorrow at 9 a.m. for more. Today, we look at some of the newest books by Southern authors, things that you should check out and put on your summer reading list, maybe. We're going to talk with Allison Law, host of the Literary Atlanta podcast. Hi, Allison.
Hello, Adam. How are you?
I'm lovely. Also with us is Decatur-based author Nikki Salcedo. Her most recent novel is All Beautiful Things. Welcome back, Nikki.
Hi, good morning.
Allison, the author Anthony Grooms has a story based on a real-life racially motivated killing from 1946. What is this book and why did you choose it?
The name of the book is The Vang Conversation. This is Anthony Grooms' novel that came out back in, actually on March the 1st, and it is based on the Moore's Landing lynching, which, like you said, happened in 1946, and is sometimes referred to as the last mass lynching in the United States. There was two African-American couples. A white lynch mob grabbed them from their cars, shot and killed them. One of the women was pregnant, and it is, to this day, an unsolved crime.
And it happened up in North Georgia, right?
It did. It happened in a place where Anthony Grooms drove by every day when he was teaching at the University of Georgia. So that and an article that came out in the 1990s in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution inspired the story. That 1990s article was the story of Clinton Adams, who was just a boy, and he was a white boy in that county, and he witnessed the lynching, knew all of the faces. But like happens in the Vang Conversation, he was unable to tell the story of what he witnessed.
Yeah. You spoke with Grooms on your podcast, and one of the things they talked about was how problems that originate from slavery, drawing a clear line between slavery and what happened in 1946, how problems originating from slavery continue to exist. Here he is from your podcast.
We look at slavery, and we see that slavery ended, and then reinvented itself for another 100 years. But we can look also at other societies, particularly if we look in the Middle East right now, but in other places in Africa, these long-held hostilities continue decade after decade.
This sounds like a heavy read, Allison.
It is a heavy read. And the thing that Anthony and I mentioned or talked about during the Literary Atlanta podcast too, was that this is a work of fiction. It's inspired by true events. But what you are able to get by reading a fictionalized account of the story, and he tells the story from different perspectives, that of Lonnie, who is the boy who witnesses the lynching, that of Bertrand, who is one of the people who was lynched, and then a couple of the members of the lynch mob, you're able to kind of answer some of the questions that will never be answered in this case. And the title of the book, The Vang Conversation, is in a biblical allusion to a conversation about race and the things that we're uncomfortable talking about that keep coming up.
Let's talk about another book that people should put on their list. Nikki, you chose Tayeri Jones' book, American Marriage, as one of your favorite books. It was recently included in Oprah's book club, so it's going to do pretty well. Why'd you choose it?
Well, I really liked that this was a story about two regular people. The voice of the story is contemporary, it's real and accessible, and the story sort of proves that a marriage is not just a story of two people. It's a story of our parents. It's a story of our friends. It's a story of the choices that we make. And I can see why it's a complicated and tough read about relationships, but I think it's interesting and real.
It points to issues surrounding wrongful incarceration. In an interview with you, Allison, Tayeri Jones says that the book was inspired by a conversation that she overheard.
I was in Atlanta visiting my mama. I went out to Lenox because I was stressed and I do like to shop. And I overheard a couple arguing, and the woman said, "Roy, you know you wouldn't have waited on me for 7 years." And he said, "You know, I don't know what you're talking about. This wouldn't have happened to you in the first place." And I was so intrigued by this argument.
So, Nikki, it sounds like another heavy read, but one worthwhile.
It is one worthwhile, and it's good to read a book where you ask yourself, what would I do in that situation? It's always, you know, great to say you would make all the right choices, but in reality, we know, and as we read, we don't know what we would do in those situations, and I enjoy a story where I take myself to those complicated questions and answers.
Allison, in that interview with you, Tayari Jones explains why she chose to set part of her book in a prison. Let's listen.
Prison is one of the few places where people regularly write letters. And I felt like in the book, it gave also kind of a nostalgic moment of the letter writing. Like Roy says, I'm going to write you a love letter. I never wrote you love letters when we were together, and I regret that now.
Boy, I'd never thought of it like that. Allison, how does Jones sort of weave letter writing into the story that she tells?
Because the two people who are married in an American marriage, Roy and Celestial, they've only been married 18 months when Roy is wrongly convicted of a violent crime and sentenced to 12 years. And the only way that they can communicate with each other at that time is through letters. And Tayari Jones was saying that she wants to bring letter writing back. She writes all of her books on typewriters and has a little bit of a typewriter problem. She owns 12 and has limited herself to 12, but she thinks that, you know, we need to go back to that that craft of writing letters to each other. So that was a way of this couple who are involved in this horrible situation, this is the only way that they can communicate with each other. These intimate details of their relationship is through these letters.
We're talking about some of the newest books by Southern authors that you should consider checking out. My guests are Allison Law of the Literary Atlanta podcast. Also, author Nikki Salcedo is with us. Allison, you chose the book Brass by author Jeanette Aliou. What's this one about?
I love this book. I love this book. And I'm really not alone in this because it was one of the most anticipated books of 2018. Brass is the story about the author, Jeanette Aliou's hometown of Waterbury, Connecticut. She grew up in Connecticut, then moved to North Carolina to attend MFA, to get her MFA. And she thought that everybody knew about this town that was founded on kind of the brass industry and the brass mills. So that explains a little bit about the title. But when she moved away from home, she realized that she had all of these stories from home, and this was one of them. It started kind of as a short story and then became the novel. It's two coming-of-age stories in one. So it goes back and forth between 1996. We have Elsie in a relationship with this Albanian line cook at a Greek diner named after the Betsy Ross, an American patriot. And then you go into the next chapter and you meet her daughter, who is Mulieta. And so it's really, really an interesting story as you go back and forth and learn about these two women.
I understand the original focus of this book is a little bit different from what Jeanette initially had in mind. Here's what she had to say about that in an interview on your podcast, Allison.
My agent asked the question that every beginning writer should actually ask themselves before they consider something finished, which is, why are you telling the story now? What's the significance of the story at this point? And I had to think, well, she's probably, you know, at this point, maybe got a, you know, her daughter is asking these kinds of questions and might be having these same kinds of identity conflicts. And my agent was like, well, then write her.
Nikki, is that something that resonates with you as an author?
It definitely does. It's always great to have an agent or an editor who gives you a little tidbit into making the story much more alive. And I love that clip. And in the story, I'm at a stage in my life where I assume I'm going to identify with one character more than another. And as you read the story, you really feel for both of these two women and this certain time in your life where you're exploring love and wanting something more than life has given you. So it's definitely a great read.
Yeah, it's Brass by author Jeanette Aliou. Nikki, let's go to another pick of yours. You chose a book called A Scholar of Pain, Short Stories by Grant Jerkins. What's this one?
Yes, Grant is a local author, and I think that short stories don't get the play that novels get as much. And I run into a lot of people who say, you know, I don't have the time to read a book. I can't finish a book. And short stories are really a wonderful window into fiction in a way that works with our current society where, you know, we might have compressed time. And many of these stories in A Scholar of Pain were previously published. This is a collection of short stories. And so you'll hear different voices. There are stories about addiction, about family relationships. And I love having glimpses into these little vignettes, these little photos of people's lives, even fictional people.
Let's try to sneak in one more pick, Nikki. You chose Gods of Howl Mountain by Taylor Brown. What's this one?
This is really a terrifying book. It's wonderful to read a book that at each page, you're wondering what's happening. It's set in a small mountain town in North Carolina, and the main character has come back from the war, who's been wounded, and sort of a town of criminals and an element of the underworld there. And prominent is his granny, who is another kind of terrifying character. I felt like it was so Shakespearean and Greek in the way it was presented. The language was Gothic and foreboding. And in a way, Southern literature has veered away from this kind of very Gothic style. And I love seeing it come back where it's grim and real and gritty.
Yeah, Allison Law of the Literary Atlanta podcast, based on the picks that you and Nikki Salcedo have brought here about the what latest books from Southern authors people should be checking out this year, where is Southern literature at right now? Where's its head?
Oh, goodness. We could have a whole debate about what is and what isn't Southern literature because, you know, of the authors that we have represented here, Anthony Grooms is Virginia, Jeanette Alieu is Connecticut, Grant is Georgia, Tayari is Georgia, Taylor is from the coast of Georgia. So, I mean, does it mean that they're Southern writers or, you know, Taylor's kind of, they've termed his as Appalachian Gothic? I think it's more... It is more reflective of the fact that the South is more and more diversified, and we have all of these incredible voices who have different past experiences and different perspectives, different ways of telling a story, different themes to explore. So I think that my short answer after giving you a long answer is that Southern literature is very rich and has so much to be mined.
Nikki, you say Southern Gothic is back. Is that what the flavor of the month right now in Southern literature, or is there something more to it?
I hope so. I think sometimes the rest of the country demands something of the South, some sort of apology for history and culture. And I think authors should step forward with their true stories. And some of them are gritty and grim and unhappy. And some of them are fun and light and more accessible to our current world. And we shouldn't have to pick one style. And I'm glad that we have a good selection these days.
You certainly do. Decatur-based author Nikki Salcedo is who we just heard from there. We were also talking to Allison Law of the Literary Atlanta podcast, letting us know about the best in Southern literature that you should be checking out this year. If you missed any of those authors and titles, don't worry. Information about all of their picks is at gpmenews.org. Allison and Nikki, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.